Hello, everybody. This is Clint Locklear with the Brand of a Free Trapper. I'm sitting in the lure shed. I am sending out actually the last of the pawpaws, and only thing I can still send out, guys, is some pecan trees. The chestnuts have already come awake, so I don't want to send those bare root. Completely wiped out of pawpaws. I think everybody that's trusted me in those are good trees. And I'm sending out today 225 purple asparagus. I have about 100 more. If you're interested, you have to get email me so I can send them out by Tuesday at the latest, because they're going to be out of the ground too long past that, plus the shipping. I want to make sure they get to you in very, very good condition. So, what is the rant? Definitions. There's a couple of things that I wanted to cover with this. Something that I've been communicating with somebody on YouTube about, because of a comment she made, and in a very non-aggressive way, I started a conversation, which it's bled over to email. But it was amazing to me. If both sides of an argument understands the definitions, all of a sudden then, you find out even really crazy radical left people, if y'all are on the same page, most of the time you're really, on the same page of definitions, most of the time you're really not that far off with what you can get along with. But it's the definitions. You know, I've said before, words matter. I've heard a lot of people say that, because it does. And definitions matter. Now, the other part of this that I want to talk about definitions, there is a podcast called Louder with Crowder. Not something you want to listen to your kids with, I promise you that. If you've got kind of a darker sense of humor and you're not politically correct at all, you'll probably enjoy his podcast. And he does this thing where it's called Change My Mind. And he normally does it, which I've never seen one of these on YouTube, but you can apparently see them on YouTube. So if you look up Louder with Crowder, Change My Mind, you'll be able to see some of these, I'm sure. But on his podcast, they didn't let him go to a college, so they kind of set up a quasi off the seat of their cuff thing and had a public Change My Mind. And what that is he makes a statement. And then the other side, which is normally with him, is going to be very liberal or could even be conservative. The point is, you have to change his mind. And what it does is it takes a person almost down a very philosophical way of tearing an argument apart. And most people realize just a few minutes into this that they really don't know why they believe what they believe. It's very interesting. Now, this is not just what a conservative can do to a liberal. I promise you, most conservatives would fall victim to rational thinking about what they believe, too. But there was this one that he did. They didn't let him into the college. And he basically, his premise was, and this was in front of an audience, which is probably not the best thing to do because you get a lot of catcalling. But his premise was, socialism is evil. Of course, being on a college campus, you get all these college kids. Socialism is not evil. It's good for society, yada, yada, yada. So he lets these people come up and explain to him why socialism is evil. Now, this is where the definitions become important, because before anybody can give an argument, they have to have an agreement on what socialism is. And when they do that, and they start trying to make an argument, all of a sudden then, it gets very squirrely for someone that believes in socialism. Now, like I said, don't take this is just easy way to get at liberals. I promise you I can do this with a lot of conservatives on a lot of things that they really believe. I do this to Travis all the time, and it really frustrates him, but it does make him think. So the premise is socialism evil? What is socialism? It's the government means government is in control of the means of production for society. That's what socialism is. Think about like what Russia did with the farm is an extreme example, where they took over the farms. They took the land away from the people. They told the farmers what to plant. They put the people on there they wanted to plant. And then the crops were left the farm, and the farmers basically starved to death. So the government owned the production. Now, production, if you understand the definition, it is not public services, because it's the means of production, production of an economy, fruit, vegetables, guns, whatever you want it to be. It's the means of production of a commodity of some type, or it could be a service. But a lot of times when you get a liberal person to agree, that is what socialism is, and it's the mean of production. And then when they're invariably going to come up and go, well, we already have a socialist because we take tax, socialist country because we take taxes, because of police and military and stuff like that. And you go, hold on now, we've already made an agreement that socialism is a means of production. Police aren't producing anything. That is a goodwill that's for public, the society's general protection. That is not production, has nothing to do with wages or anything like that. Well, see, you've already knocked out 80% of the argument from a socialist of that we already are, so we should just do more. And then you go back to the moral argument, which is socialism is immoral. And what does immoral mean? It means evil. It means there's no way that it can be good, no matter what the other person thinks. So it's a very strong statement. You can do the same thing with guns, as a matter of fact, which he does in this podcast, which is very interesting. I suggest you listen to it. So if you think socialism is immoral, why is it immoral? Because socialism is based off theft. Theft is immoral. And before you bring that statement up, do you think theft is immoral? Do you think you can steal from other people? And automatically the liberal is going to go, but taxes aren't stealing. No, the question is, I want an answer. Do you believe that you're allowed to steal from somebody else? Now, it's really hard for someone to be able, in that type of tight context, to go, yeah, I think it's okay to steal. If you are, you're dealing with a psychopath, really. If they can be that honest that stealing is okay, you're dealing with someone that you can't have a conversation with anyway. So you get them to agree on the definition of stealing. What is stealing? It's where someone takes something from someone else that they have not earned, either through the cover of darkness or through force. That's evil. Yes, that's evil. You can't do that. Okay. But that's not taxes. Hold on. What is taxes? That's different. Why is it different? Well, we already have these other programs. No, you're talking about socialism, where you have some form of guaranteed income or welfare or this, that, and the other. So what happens if I don't want to pay my taxes because I think it's theft, because it is, by our definition, for a socialist program that you agree with to give money to somebody else? Well, see, now because you've broken down these definitions, guys, it gets really hard for someone to start going all over the place. But they will. They will try. They will come up with, they'll try to take you down all these dirt roads. They'll bring up what Republicans or Democrats doing, what Trump's doing, what Obama did. And you just keep bringing them back to the definition. And if stealing someone's property is theft, socialism is immoral by their own definition. Now then, you're going to come up to an argument of, well, socialism has great benefit for society. Okay, then you handle that in a very civil way and go, so if something benefits society, then if it's moral or immoral, it doesn't matter because it benefits society. And if you get them to, they're going to say yes, because they believe that it's okay to take from certain people. And you can throw in the thing, well, socialism is always based on discrimination. And they're going to go, no, it's not. Discrimination is the whites and the black slaves and yada, yada, yada. And you bring up examples like Venezuela. All socialists are based on discrimination. And the reason for that is discrimination is immoral, is it not? You make them agree that discrimination is immoral. And they're going to go, okay, yeah, discrimination's immoral, it's evil, it shouldn't happen, yada, yada, yada. And then you go, fine. Well, see, we both agree that socialism is immoral because socialism is always based off discrimination. And they're going to say, no, it's not. And if you keep pushing them on where this inequality is coming from, it's the class of what they consider wealthy people. So it is based on discrimination. So therefore, socialism is based on discrimination because of wealthy people, and you want to steal from them, so that's two immoral things to get socialism to work. Kind of follow what I'm saying? And they're going to say it's for the good of society. So if it's productive and adds to the society, then automatically it should be done, even though a lot of people don't want you to do it. And they're going to go, yeah, you've got to have stuff like this. Well, when if you believe that, then you believe that slavery is now moral because there is an economic benefit to having slaves. You get free labor. So you could go conquer a country and work these other people to death as slaves, but since there's an economic benefit to society, now you're saying that that is kosher. And they're going to go, no, that's different. Why is it different? And then you just keep pushing them down this thing. You can use the example of Hitler, the way that he took over the means of production, how he took all of the wealth of the Jewish people. That was a great benefit to Germany. Was it moral? See, if you get the definition of socialism, and you get the definition of moral, and you get the definition of these different things, and you keep them in this lane, and don't let them do the Fox News and CNN where it's just a bunch of bashing, you keep them on topic, what happens is most people that's never in their life thought about socialism in a logical, rational way start getting very antsy. Now, they're probably not going to be a convert to capitalism right off the bat. But you know what you disproved? That you're just not a hateful person because you don't believe in socialism because it's immoral. How can a moral country believe in an immoral practice? Definitions. Now, the other thing about definitions, which is so important when you're talking to people, I did a podcast that says diversity is death for permaculture communities. And I did that because there's a lot of people in permaculture, and I don't know, I wouldn't personally want to be part of a community. And when you think of community, almost think of commune. If you don't, so we understand the definitions. It's where there's a block of land and you have permaculturists that want to be able to, on paper, it's really good. And if you could not have diversity, it probably would be pretty good. So if say me and Chip and Tim and Jesse from Iowa and Donnie O'Neill that I'm sending out the asparagus to, we're all into agriculture. So we're going to do a commercial. We go in, we buy property. We're going to, have permaculture community so we can all buy a tractor and share the tractor, so we just have to have one tractor. We can share the tools, we can help each other build houses, all of that stuff would be really cool to someone that wanted to live a very simple but ecological, productive and income producing lifestyle, because you could cut out a lot of the expenses because you're all going to help each other. That's kind of the goal of a permaculture community. Now, see, there's also a permaculture community, which is the greater worldwide community. It's like trappers are a community, hunters are a community, fishers are a community. But if you understand the definition of that title, diversity is death in a permaculture community, that's talking almost like a commune type setting, where everybody lives together and helps everybody, and everybody, holds hands and drinks kombucha and walks around in flip-flops and everything's just perfect. That's kind of the goal of what that is for a lot of people. Now, what I say inside of this podcast, if you haven't heard it, you can also see it on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, Permaculture Realist. It's death if you have diversity in one of these things. Now, to a liberal person, diversity means skin color, where someone's from, where their social economic standing is, all of these superficial hogwash things of diversity. But that's kind of their go-to place all the time is diversity. We want to have more diversity. What I'm referring to as diversity, and I lay this out very clearly in the podcast, is culture. And I'm going to give a couple examples of why this is important. So if you're going to talk to someone, and I know a lot of y'all aren't going to be talking about permaculture community diversity, but if you explain what a community is, what the purpose of it is, you got a bunch of people living tightly together that are there to help each other and live in harmony. You'll get a permaculturist to go, yep, that's it. That's what we're all looking for. Okay, good. Well, I'm saying that diversity was going to destroy that, and they're going to go, no, it's not. Now, how this got started was on the YouTube channel, I see a comment, yay, a racist permaculturist. So I just put down in the comments, yay, someone that didn't listen to the podcast and jumped to conclusions. That made, which I believe is a female, that made her go back and listen to the podcast. Well, you could tell it kind of knocked the wind out of her sails because she just wanted to be able to say that I was racist, and she didn't really know what to do with that because her definition of diversity is very different from my definition of diversity. So what she found out in there is, I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't care where you're from. I don't care how much money you do or do not have. I don't care what your education level is. But if we're going to have a tight-knit community in the permaculture definition, we need to be able to get along without tearing each other's throats out the way that you see every day on social media, because that goes into a... Okay, guys, sorry about that. We're having spa problems, and I've done everything I could think of, and that's who called, so I had to pick it up. So I'm going to be a little bit wacky-doodle now with my train of thought. But what was happening is this lady was getting upset because our definitions of diversity were different. Hers was skin color, race, where you're from, how much money. Mine is the culture that you come from. And then she makes a comment on YouTube, monocultures die. And she's absolutely right. That was a cute, almost trying to stab me in the nuts type of way of saying, if you just have one culture that it's gonna die, which is absolutely false. And then when I explained to her what I meant, there was silence for a long time. See, where my farm is at, let's say that five or six other permaculturists were gonna come in and buy some of the property around me. And we wanted to have somewhat of a permaculture community where we're gonna gather together, make a co-op, be able to sell to restaurants, have more volume, have more of an eco-tourist type thing, have several wedding events, farms, and really make it amazing, almost where people just are drawn to it. That was our goal of our community. It wouldn't be as tight as a commune because we'd just be living all in the same area. So we kind of start talking about this inside the broader community, which is just people that are into permaculture, because that definition is different. And say we get 10 families to come down, or 10 groups of people to come down, and they start setting up their own permaculture. See, the culture that I'm happy with may be very different from the culture of a permaculturist. And because of that culture difference, it could cause some really big issues, which is going to be the opposite of what the permaculture community, the tight-knit one, is going to be able to survive, because everybody will start joining teams and they will start fighting and there won't be any cooperation and it's all going to fall apart. See, on my farm, one of the things that I really enjoy, I like guns, as most of you know. I've got several. I like shooting. I like hunting. I like doing different things like that with gun. Inside of the bigger area that I live, which you could say is like a crazy big neighborhood with very few houses, because it is a street. It's not like we live on the side of the mountain or something anywhere. There are two families that shoot regularly automatic weapons. They have class 4, and I can hear that one of them has an MP5 fully automatic, and I don't know what they're shooting or what they're doing. They're just having a good time. And another one, it sounds like an M16, an older before Vietnam era automatic. 223 is some type. It's not a saw. Don't know what it is. So I'm down there doing my, you know, my hippie permaculture thing, and there's automatic fire in the background. I love it. Because, you know, when people talk about, I heard automatic fire over there, you know, the last place someone's going to start snooping around to break in is somewhere where there's a gun culture inside of an agriculture place. someone else in our community also either has a cannon or a piece of artillery. I don't know which one it is. I don't even know who it is. But they fire it off like every month. And I'm talking like 15, 20 times. I don't know exactly, like I said, if it's black powder or it's artillery. It is a cannon. And I love it. I grin every time I hear it. Now, if you were anti-gun and that was your culture, how do you think you're going to respond to that in our permaculture community? It's going to be very decisive. And it's going to fall apart. See, in a specific tight-knit community, the culture needs to be the same. It can be anti-gun, fine, or gun, and fine. It can be entrepreneurial in basis, or it needs to be very socialist in basis. But you can't combine those two without having a lot of problems. The other thing that I told her about the culture, I'm like, well, ma'am, you know, I've got over an acre of chestnuts on my property. And it was kind of like, yeah, what's that got to do with anything? I'm growing those to shoot deer. Silence. Now, see, if diversity means you're going to stick vegans and animal rights activists with hunters, because no one's thought through the definitions and talked this stuff out, you're going to destroy any type of tight-knit community. Because it's always going to be playing the other side, trying to force them into thinking your way. And that's not a healthy way to have a community. So whether it's hunting and vegans, or our animal rights activists, or guns and no guns, that was two clear examples. There should not be those two in the same community, because it's gonna cause problems. Definitions. My culture, the way I look at diversity, doesn't have anything to do with skin color. But if you don't like gun culture and you come to the area that my farm is at, you're gonna have heartburn all the time. You're gonna start trying to have a little protest and trying to get rules passed where you can't shoot automatic weapons or whatever it is. And it's just gonna cause heartache. But if you get someone to define what it is that they're saying, you will find out most of the time either they've never thought it through, which is a great educational lesson for both of you, because there's a lot of stuff, me included, probably spout off and haven't really thought through. Or you can find out that you're probably not that far apart. You're talking about two totally different things. That's why definitions are so important. That's why when you talk to a gun person about guns, they believe a certain way, and you talk to an anti-gun and you get them to define what the Second Amendment is, and then you get to define what a human right is, and then it's immoral to take away someone's human rights, just as it's immoral to take away someone's First Amendment or Fourth Amendment or anything else. You get them to agree to that, and then the Second Amendment is also a right, and then you say that it's immoral not to allow people to the right to self-defense. See, because you start defining these things, the most crazy anti-gun person all of a sudden really didn't know what to say. Now it's all opinion, and when they say opinion, you go, that's your opinion. But let's get back to the facts of what we're talking about. It's very interesting when you have this conversation with people that don't think about things in certain times. I do this all the time with myself or what I think that I believe. Because if I'm looking at something in the wrong way, I want to know it. Because I don't wear team jerseys when it comes to stuff like that. I don't want to wear a team jersey when it comes to stuff like that. If there's a better, smarter, more moral way to do something, that's the side I want to be on. And unless you ask questions and have other people answer these questions, neither one of y'all most of the time are even talking about the same subject, because diversity is not, to me, in skin color. And I'm going to give a couple examples of this. We have a feral cat we started taking care of. I named him Frederick Douglass because he's a little black cat. He's very independent. So being black and independent, Frederick Douglass came to mind. Frederick Douglass was a slave at one time. Once he understood how freeing the Constitution was, he was a massive proponent of the Constitution. Now, he was black, and Jesse Jackson is black. See, it's not the skin color, it's the culture. Now, if you were to stick a crazy gangbanger that thinks it's the coolest thing in the world to sell drugs to get as much money as he can and destroy his own community for that purpose because he thinks might overdoes right and he happens to be black, it's not a black thing, it's a culture thing. Because Ben Carson is also black. And you couldn't get Ben Carson and the gangbanger to agree on anything when it comes to that. See, because it's not skin color. And most of the time, when I explain the difference between culture and race, or the lack of believing in race, or something like that, then all of a sudden you find out there's a whole lot more agreement going on. But I think politically, I think it's we are trained to not think this way, so we're always at each other's throat. So we don't really understand who the people is that are pulling the strings. That's my personal opinion, guys. Define everything. Make everybody else define anything if it's going to be on a subject like that. You'll go to some very interesting places when you do.